From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
We must build a new United Nations organization in a bid to have a new multipolar world of peace where there are no empires imposing their will on a unipolar world.
That was the president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, at Wednesday's afternoon session of the 69th UN General Assembly. His first appearance at the assembly as president since his election after the passing of the popular Hugo Chavez. We continue with our special coverage of the 69th General Assembly. President Maduro was one of many voices from around the world calling for a revamp of the organization's institutions to make them more democratic and responsive to the bulk of the world's nations and peoples. Although the General Assembly is the main deliberative body of the UN, where each of the 193 members have one vote, real power exists in the Security Council, a much smaller grouping with five permanent members, the U.S., U.K., France, Russia, and China, the so-called P5, each of whom have the right to veto any proposed action by the U.N. or any of its instrumentalities. The organization's structure is a product of World War II, with the P5 representing the victorious nations who called themselves, during the war, the United Nations. Not represented among the P5 are the 1 billion people each of Africa and India, the more than 500 million people of Latin America, as well as major economic powers such as Germany, Japan, South Africa, and Brazil. Calls for major reform of the UN have been brought to the Assembly for decades, dating back at least to the 1960 Assembly speech by then-Premier Nikita Khrushchev of the Soviet Union. Former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi made a detailed proposal for restructuring 5 years ago this week, calling for the powers currently held by the Security Council, particularly the right to authorize military action, to be held instead by the General Assembly, with the Council to act instead as merely an executory body charged with implementing the Assembly's instructions. Thus far, Maduro's proposal drew the loudest applause from the Assembly, and it was amplified by the fact that his country will head the group of non-aligned nations for the coming year, where UN reform is on the agenda. This was the presentation of President Nicolas Maduro at the UN General Assembly Wednesday.
Senora.
Madam President, dear brothers and sisters of the various governments represented here in this organization, the United Nations, at the outset, since this is the first time that I am attending in my capacity as the President of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, I wish to thank the United Nations General Assembly and all its representative governments and the various bodies of the United Nations system for the heartfelt tribute that simultaneously was paid in the United Nations headquarters in New York, Geneva, and other places in the world to an extraordinary human being, Commander Hugo Chavez, who has always raised the banners of peace, equality, and respect for our peoples. This is the first thing I wish to convey to you from my heart on behalf of the people of Venezuela, and also remind and recall and invoke his spirit of tackling imperialism and injustice. Dear representatives of governments throughout the world, we have had debates for several decades now on the need to rethink this organization, and various presidents that have presided over the assembly. And this morning, I very strongly reminded President Dilma Rousseff, Cristina Fernandez, and other presidents of the Americas the need to reorient and readjust and tweak the entire United Nations system. This system has been in place for 70 years. At the end of the so-called Second World War, which actually took place in Europe and other parts of the world between 1940 and 1945. United Nations Charter is really one of the most beautiful poems that we could ever read. It has well and truly become an instrument that has been set aside, is overlooked, and it is consistently flouted as far as its fundamental objectives are concerned. The United Nations is a historic experiment of humankind, which has become a landmark, because never before has humanity had a forum to meet, to deal with issues of peace, issues affecting our lives, and to seek to negotiate solutions to conflicts. Never before in 7,000 years of civilization as we know it, have we ever, if we were to revise humankind's history and the history of empires and the ongoing battle to distribute the wealth and the territory of the world, only with the establishment of this system in 1945 did we begin to see a glimpse of a light in the future at the end of a long tunnel of battles, of wars and global conflicts. We call for the legitimacy of the United Nations above and beyond any criticism that may be leveled against it. And this is a call, and given the human importance to have this institution, we must therefore stress the need for an in-depth transformation, as Commander Hugo Chavez said on many occasions right here in this hall in his famous statements in a bid to defend the causes of humanity. He said that there is a need for a far-reaching democratic overhaul of the United Nations system. We must democratize, as President Jacob Zuma of South Africa said, our sister country of South Africa. We must overhaul the Security Council of the United Nations and broaden the leadership of regions. This world is different from what we knew in 1945. This is another world. The United Nations was born to deal with post-war reconstruction and the conflicts that had come to the fore, and the United Nations has had to deal with a multi-centric, multipolar, multi-world with emerging countries and regions with their own thoughts, their aspirations, and their desire to be respected in this world. The United Nations has to adapt its organization and submit to the broader sovereignty of the peoples of this world, who are calling to make sure that their voice carries weight, clout, that they are heard. We have heard speeches today kicking off the meeting of this 69th session, because we also believe in strengthening the role of the Secretary General. As we have said so many times, the political clout and the institutional clout of the Secretary General, who represents all of us, we must have a Secretary General who can represent all of us and find solutions to the conflicts throughout the world. We must therefore reconfigure the system and the way the General Assembly of the United Nations functions. We must democratize it and give it a leading role and ensure that this debate that must take place here can always successfully tackle the major issues facing the world. And that is why we believe we must build a new United Nations organization in a bid to have a new multipolar world of peace where there are no empires imposing their will on a unipolar world. This is urgent for the entire world, above and beyond what officials may think in various governments represented in this room. We already have another world to deal with, where we all wish to speak, to think, and to decide our own fate and achieve peace for our peoples. There's a new regionalism that has come to the fore. Now, at the end of the 1940s and 1950s, we saw the birth of United European Union, and we saw a new model of Europe, which is very admired by many throughout the world. And then in the 70s and 1980s, we saw the African Union come to the fore, an extraordinary system of organizing the African continent to deal with issues of developing life. And development is a key region in the world. And now, as we embark on the 21st century, Latin America is taking its place. And we have seen in Latin America new organizations come to the fore. On the 14th of December, we will be commemorating in Havana, Cuba, a heroic island, the 10th years of the Bolivarian Alliance for the Americas, and we have been playing an important role in building a new social and economic order in the defense of the major causes such as climate change, for example. 10 years now, it's a youthful organization or partnership or alliance that is now looking forward to the rest of the 21st century. I can also mention Petrocaribe. There and the states representing Petrocaribe. And please forgive me if I may seem immodest and blow my own trumpet, but Petrocaribe is one of the models that can best show how we can have solidarity, cooperation, and complementarity among nations. Petrocaribe, and I'm saying this for the powerful in the world, those who wield all the capital, those who wield all the economic power, we can have another world, and we're starting to have this in the Americas. The coming to the fore of UNASUR, Union of South American Countries, which is a new southern regionalism that was founded on the 17th of April 2007 with a participation of new leaders in Latin America, and our commander Hugo Chavez was there on the 17th of April 2007, and we saw a bloc come to the fore. Very interesting, very important, and it is now starting to forge ties with the rest of the world. And recently we had a very interesting and important meeting for the remainder of the decade between the BRICS. I have to single them out because they are the hope for development using new mechanisms in the world. BRICS met in Brasilia, and we decided to share our experiences in the BRICS Bank and the Banco del Sur, which would be a new financial architecture for this world that we must see come to the fore in this new regionalism in the CELAC region, Community of Latin American and Caribbean States. We saw this come to the fore on the 2nd of September in 2011, and it is already consolidating the summits that we had in Santiago de Chile, in Havana, and now in San Jose, Costa Rica. All of these summits that we have had and will have in January. And we are seeing optimism for this new regionalism. And based on this experience, we are seeing new forms arise towards establishing a new roadmap for rethinking and overhauling the United Nations system. Let this not fall through the cracks here in this room. The call for an overhaul of the United Nations organization. We must find the way. We must try to come up with a common roadmap for humanity, because we need it if we are to tackle the major issues that we have to deal with. Mr. President, the United Nations for 22 years has all customarily voted with record insistence for a cause which is not just a cause of the Americas, but rather cause espoused by the peoples and governments of this world. And here I speak of the rejection of the economic embargo against our brother Republic of Cuba. And old war vestige here. I think it was the president of Estonia who spoke about the anachronisms of the world Cold War and the systems of economic persecution to subjugate peoples and persecute governments. We're here on behalf of the Bolivarian Republic to confirm our support for the struggle of the people and government of Cuba over 50 years now against the system. President Obama, when will there be an opportunity for you to go down in history once and for all as putting an end to the criminal economic and trade embargo and the persecution of our brother country of Cuba? We are also seeing new causes come to the fore in the current struggles facing our region, and we have taken them on in unison. And I wish here to recognize as a great step forward the decision that was taken by this organization, indeed this General Assembly, 2 weeks ago, when the Republic of Argentina and President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner was supported in her struggle against the financial plundering through the international financial system. We want to lend every effort we can to her to ensure that this GA, in accordance with the proposal of G77 and China, that we soon, efficiently, and as effectively as possible, draft a document that would become a mandatory document for the nations represented here to defend us, ourselves, especially the poorer countries of the developing world, against these vulture funds that seek to plunder our economies and our countries and impose economic, institutional, and political systems on us that are detrimental to us. And this mechanism is known as a vulture fund, and that is why we confirm every solidarity of the people of Venezuela with the people of Argentina, and indeed all the solidarity of the CELAC countries. And let us move towards this historic decision. We had 124 votes in favor last week. Venezuela also wishes to lend its voice. As we said in the CELAC summit in Havana, because the United Nations must support as closely and as warmly as it can and enforce the decisions calling on the United States of America to enforce and execute a decolonization plan for Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico was invited by CELAC to join CELAC, the community of Latin American and Caribbean states, because it is Caribbean and it is ours. So we raised our voice to make it heard in this room here in the United Nations to call for the release of a man whose name many of you will hear for the first time, the name of a man who almost 35 years ago was imprisoned and has been subject to torture, a man with a family, a man from Latin America and Caribbean, a man like us. We're talking about Oscar Lopez Ribera, the longest held prisoner who is in a United States prison to this day, and we demand his immediate release. His only sin was to fight for independence and to defend the beautiful flag and the star of the dignity of our sister country of Puerto Rico. So these are the causes of this historic moment. As you know, Venezuela is having a people's democratic revolution that began with an impeccable constitutive event. For the first time in the history of our country, the Constitution of the Republic was debated with a people and approved by a referendum with the participation of this sovereign vote of the people of Venezuela in 1999. And since then, we have been developing and carrying out a process of political and social development. We're trying to overcome poverty. In 2015, we will have the post-2015 development agenda, and we will be looking at the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals. And fortunately, our commander, Hugo Chavez, he was able to announce that we have practically achieved all the MDGs. We have an enrollment rate of over 90% in almost all schools, and we offer free quality education from basic schools right through to universities. We have brought down a 20% unemployment rate 5 years ago to 5.5% at the end of last year. That's how we dealt with unemployment. We have changed the curves, and we had vulnerable employment to the tune of 60%, and now we have 60% of those jobs protected by social security, etc. I could spend hours here referring to the progress we have made towards our MDGs. We have been able to salvage our oil wealth. I'm sure you would know that we have the largest oil reserves in the hemisphere, in the Orinoco Basin, and we have the largest oil fields there. And for the first time in 90 years, we have fully recovered our oil, our petroleum resources, as the basis for our development. We have had to suffer ongoing harassment and persecution at the hands of the imperial forces and those who are allies of the United States Empire, who have sought always to undermine our democracy. And one such attempt was the attempted coup against Hugo Chavez. I can say from here, and I must thank the governments of the world for their solidarity with Venezuela, because Venezuela has been struggling and resisting. They couldn't with Hugo Chavez, and they cannot with us, and we are still on the path towards revolution, democracy, independence, and dignity with our own voice speaking to the world.
Señora President.
Madam President, there are major problems that we now have to tackle at this point. And one of them, as you all know, and perhaps the greatest threat we have to deal with, is the virus known as Ebola hemorrhagic fever. Now, if this world and our UN system had been somewhat more human, we would have been focusing, instead of sending drones to destroy and kill the people of Gaza or to bomb the people of Iraq and Syria, had we been more focused on lending our support to tackling this, the real threat, then I heard the president of Chad just now announce that they have decided to donate $2 million to the Ebola Fund for administration, and the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela is going to be given $5 million to the fund to support Africa and to support the people who are in need throughout the world. Let's be clear, we should be discussing the scientific reports here and taking decisions based on those reports. We should be focused here on another issue which is important and affects the survival of humanity in this earth, and that's climate change. As a poem from the Indigenous Peoples of the Americas said, after they can no longer poison any more rivers, after they have poisoned our lakes, since there is not even one fish left to eat, then the powerful of the world will have to eat each other. They want to create strange formulas when in fact all they need to do is to recognize that we have to make an extraordinary effort and recognize climate change as a climatic emergency. We should not just have speeches and make routine offers. We must recover sanity in this organization if we are to strengthen it and place it at the forefront, place at the forefront of our agenda the real common problems that are facing all of us. And today in the United Nations Security Council, they took a raft of decisions in a bid to combat terrorism. Yes, let's be clear. We must combat terrorism. We have been condemning terrorism for over a year and a half now, because my question here, we are pained at the murder of Western journalists, the dastardly acts of these terrorists. But this, a year and a half ago, when boys and girls were captured by these terrorist groups in Syria, we weren't that pained at that time, and they were being beheaded, and women in mosques were being beheaded. The pain should be the same. Should our pain be more depending on the color or the origin of the skin of a person or the origin of that person? And human lives and the loss of human lives should pain us all. And therefore, NATO and its allies should have supported the effort a year and a half ago, and I'm here to say it on behalf of my government. If the government of Syria had been overthrown by those imperial attacks today in that entire region of Syria, Lebanon and Iraq and Jordan, at this point we would have seen the power of those terrorists take root. As painful as it maybe, we have to say that President Bashar al-Assad and the democratic and constitutional government of Syria, which has always combated terrorism and has also suffered thousands of deaths, we want to keep bombarding them using the rationale that makes no sense that we have to have a huge alliance of peace against terrorism, respecting the sovereignty of countries and the sovereign governments on that entire region. But I would like to see the delegation of the United States take note of this and convey that message to President Obama. And after so much death and bombardments, the people of Iraq are dying. We have to invite the sovereign governments of Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Egypt, and indeed the entire region to come up with a political, military, and cultural and communication strategy, a comprehensive strategy that can be supported by the UN Security Council. Anything else is crazy. Look at what happened with Libya. It is a crazy race towards more terrorism, more violence, and the insecurity that we're dealing with has come at the hands of those who are taking decisions in this organization. Our organization needs to be overhauled so that everyone can have total peace. It is not the threat of the use of force or the use of force or internal competition to overthrow governments such as the one that I preside. That's not how we will have stable peace. No, we will do so through the respect of international law. That is how we will have peace and full security. And lastly, Madam President, I wish to thank this General Assembly for all the support, because in 2015, next year, Venezuela, with your support, will be leading the non-aligned movement, genuinely to play a role that can give a new impetus to this plan and bid to rethink and overhaul the United Nations, in which we will all have a voice, in which we'll all have a vote, and no one can impose their will on the others. And therefore, next year, delegations from around the world will be welcome to our historic summit of the nonaligned movement in Caracas. Many thanks to you, Madam President, and many thanks to all of you. And may God bless you. And may he bless the entire world and give us strength to move towards peace for all our peoples. Thank you.
The UN General Assembly debate will continue until next Tuesday, and we will bring you more of its highlights over the coming days. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.